Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. And welcome to the conclusion of RSR's list of discoveries squeezing evolution, also known as evolution's big squeeze. But first, some great RSR news.
Oh, yes, some programming news. This podcast, actually, it's a radio broadcast. And a podcast is now available on Spotify.
Now that's huge. Spotify is really big. Yeah. I got Spotify and it's great. Is.
Yeah. If you have
it's convenient.
And you're over 60. No, you're not over 60.
How old I'm are you? Not, I'm not. I'm under 60.
I'm 60. You're under 60.
Yes.
Okay.
That's all we need to
know. So we're on Spotify, which is awesome. We're so thankful for that. And just a week ago, Alexa gained a new skill.
All right.
And people
new
can
information
say
information for Alexa.
Alexa, open Bob Enyart Live, and Alexa will start playing the radio show.
Okay, good. Not just the theme music, but the whole show.
yeah, that's right. It's like I wrote three titles. I just wrote the titles, not the books.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, Alexa, that's great too. Everybody's got an Alexa.
Well, we don't.
You don't?
No.
It's so convenient.
We don't like people listening into anything.
Oh.
Except we do like it when the government reads our emails.
Okay.
That gives me hope for our country. But I don't know about listening in.
I didn't realize it did that. Okay, I'll have to.
Oh, it listens to everything.
Okay.
Fred, you've been working too hard programming.
Well, I know, but
software.
listening and transmitting, is it?
Oh, yes.
I guess it would have to, right?
Yeah.
It's online.
Apple,
it ties into your
and
Wi-Fi.
Amazon, they just said that they're going to stop their contractors from listening to people's private. Microsoft, they listen to Skype. Huh. Microsoft employees listen to your Skype sessions.
Wow. Okay.
It's really freaky. You know, everybody assumed that they were just trusting these big tech companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just trust
them.
Yeah,
trust us.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, Fred, we've been presenting some of the many discoveries squeezing beyond recognition the time frame of the theory of evolution. And of course, without a workable time frame, there is no workable theory. So some of the highlights that we've covered in the first two parts, and we'll conclude today, is dinosaurs, that they were eating rice before rice evolved.
That sounds like, you know, much more than a squeeze. That's an implosion.
Yeah.
It's past the squeeze.
I think so.
And the next one is the same way. Advanced birds appeared before, guess what? Birds evolved.
Yeah, advanced birds.
And advanced birds to boot.
And then there were multiple species of insects appear in the fossil record with the ability to feed on flowers.
And this happened 70 million years before the flowers themselves evolved.
That's right. That's handy. You know, it's the Boy Scout motto.
Yeah,
before they went homosexual.
Oh,
be
man.
Prepared.
Yeah. So be prepared because in 70 million years, you're going to need to use this special tongue.
Yes.
Because the flowers are going to show up.
Yeah. So the fossil record squeezes the theory beyond recognition. In fact, tuberculosis, this bacteria thought to be around for maybe 100,000 years, now it's found, supposedly, at 245 million years ago. That's a good one.
Yep. And what about fungus, long claimed to originate about 500 million years ago, is now found allegedly at 950 million years ago, and it's still biological.
Yeah, the fungus specimen, the fossil, it's not permineralized. It hasn't all turned to stone. Some of it's still biological for what, a billion years? That's too much. Fred, our list of dinosaur soft tissue is the best in the world. And we have on Google Docs a spreadsheet. It's our biomaterial fossils list. It's now at 107 papers published, where fossils that are 5 million years up to 2.5 billion years old still have original biological material in them.
Yeah. And you can see people live accessing that thing. It's kind of cool.
It is cool. People from all over the world go to that spreadsheet. It's really a great RSR resource. So, Fred, then we have what? A 2.7 billion year old eukaryote. You remember eukaryotes?
Yeah. Yeah, eukaryota, and I'll carry Chewbacca.
That's the RSR way of remembering what? Like nothing, except for how to pronounce it. A eukaryote is a cell with a nucleus. So allegedly, again, they existed allegedly a billion years before they had expected that they had evolved.
Yep. Isn't the fossil record a wonderful thing?
It's a wonderful thing because it falsifies the theory of evolution. So now let's continue, but instead of right away with more fossils, let's start with astronomy because no man is an island and no planet stands alone, right? So there's a squeeze problem called the faint young sun problem. Reminds me of the sun young moon problem.
That's right.
This is the cool young sun or the faint young sun problem, and it squeezes the entire secular origins claims from the solar system forming to life evolving on Earth, because when the sun started, it would be a lot cooler. Fred, this squeezes so tightly that if the Earth was a pimple, it would pop.
It would pop.
This is a problem.
It is. You know, evolutionists, and we mentioned some of these earlier, they have been pushing back their claim of when life arose on Earth.
Yeah.
And we've seen in this series, they're pushing back things a billion, of the big B, billion years further than they had expected.
There's that B word.
And that's a problem with this faint young sun problem.
Yeah, it sure is. The further back they claim that life arose on Earth, the more trouble they have with the astrophysicists. Now, how can that be? Well, because a few billion years ago, the sun would have been far more unstable and cooler. So the journal Nature, that's the world's leading science journal, reports that the faint young sun paradox remains. It hasn't been solved, for the sun was fainter when the Earth was young, but climate was generally at least as warm as today. And Fred, when they say cooler, what they mean is below freezing. They're talking about 4 degrees on average worldwide, 4 degrees below freezing.
Yep. So when they're pushing back everything, when things were supposed to have evolved.
Right.
They're running into a brick wall of the faint young sun problem.
Yes, because the entire Earth, if it's that temperature for hundreds of millions of years, the entire Earth, any water on the Earth, would be frozen solid.
Yep.
The Earth would be a ball of ice, an ice cube. And there is no evidence in the old Earth geologists and paleontologists. Nobody claims that the Earth was once a solid block of ice. So they really have a problem. When they do address that problem, which they'd rather ignore, it's a series of just-so stories. They fine-tune the atmosphere of the Earth so that it has more greenhouse, so that it has more greenhouse molecules in it, so it will retain more heat. And gradually, over a period of hundreds of millions of years, they modify the Earth's atmosphere in sync with the sun's evolution. And it's just such a wild, just-so story, like they have 100 times over.
Exactly. So our next topic, Bob, have you heard of this star that's a billion years older than the universe?
No.
They've discovered a star that's older than the universe.
Now, wait a minute.
Which came first, the universe or the stars?
So, Fred, this is funny because everything you look at in the universe is squeezing the theory of how the universe evolved.
Yep.
Everything. So in May of this year, this star, the problem that this star has given NASA got way worse in May of 2019. Because first of all, the star is supposed to be about 13.9 billion years old. Pretty old star. But the universe, old school, was 13.8 billion. You know, Fred, 20 years ago, they thought it was 15 billion years.
Yeah.
Then they switched it to 13.8 billion. Now they find a star that's 13.9 billion. So they say, well, let's apply the margin of error, the whole margin of error.
The entire margin,
yeah. In their favor. And they say, okay, we could just sort of make it work. Well, then comes this enormous study from the Hubble Space Telescope in May of this year. And Fred, they have redated the age of the universe. And this has truly freaked out NASA, the European Space Agency, everybody, because they say the universe is...
Drum roll, please.
Drum roll. 12.5 billion, maybe up to 13 billion. That's
Wait a minute.
12.5 billion years old.
So with this very in-depth study they did, where they really wanted to be precise, they're coming up with a universe between 12 and 13 billion years old.
Yeah, 12.5.
12.5, yeah. Okay, but wait, there's a star that's 13.9 billion years. And its range of its air that they gave
margin of error
was 700 million years.
Yeah, okay, so 13.
Let's give them all of that, just because they took all of that last time when they tried to explain it away.
Yeah, the journal Nature. They were pretty rude, the journal Nature.
Yeah.
Up in their lead of the story, they say this star, 13.2 billion years old, is almost as old as the universe. Yeah. And I'm like, what do you mean 13.2 billion? What, did I misread the paper or something? And then you go buried down deep in the article. They say the team dated the star at 13.9 billion, but we applied the entire margin of error to our benefit.
Yeah.
Okay. In the lead, which I think is like, it's rude.
It's rude, but let's go ahead and let them have that 700 million years, Bob, because that makes it 13.2.
Yeah.
Yet.
The universe itself, apparently. And Fred, this is, they use the Hubble Space Telescope. The team that did this research, a John Hopkins team led by a Nobel Prize winning astrophysicist, and they hated their results. They said, do it again. Did it again. Check the numbers again. Checked it again. They went back to the Planck satellite and all that effort, and they rechecked that math, and they're like, it's all accurate. Everything is accurate, and now the date of the universe is wrong, and they have a real hard time making everything fit anyway with the universe's evolution. Like, stars took a long time to form after the Big Bang, and then the galaxies, and then galaxy clusters and black holes. I mean, all this stuff already, the superstructures of the universe, they were already too old for the universe.
Yep.
And that discovery after discovery, they said, this galaxy is too old for the universe. This galaxy cluster is too old. These stars are too old. Here's another one.
Well, you know, that Planck satellite has really been a thorn in the side of, you know, the evolutionists. It's been great for us. Remember the whole axis of evil thing?
Yes.
The Planck satellite confirmed their so-called, what
axis
they call
of
axis
evil.
Of evil.
The CMB, the cosmic microwave background radiation of the universe.
Yep.
And it looks like the Earth is in a special place. And so the secular atheist, even Lawrence Krauss, the secular astrophysicist, they call this the axis of evil because it looks like the whole universe is pointing right at the Earth. And Lawrence Krauss said, there's something really wrong here because everything is pointing to like the Earth is in the center. And there's not only that evidence, there's other evidence at rsr.org/center. People could look at the evidence that's been published that suggests, it's not proved, but it suggests that the Milky Way galaxy is very near the center of the universe and that the orbit of the Earth around the sun defines the plane that bisects the universe, which freaks them out. That's why they call it evil.
That's right. And you got to wonder if they're in there kind of thinking to themselves, why did we ever let this complex piece of iron get sent up into space that's contradicting everything we believe?
Yeah.
It's evil.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So, Bob, I think we need to put the entire universe, add it to our classic list, the list of not so old things.
That list.
What do you think?
That is
the entire universe can go on that list now.
That is such a fun list of things that evolutionists told us. It's the original, right?
Yep.
It started it all.
Yep.
Things that were a million years old that they say, oh, it's only 6,800 years old.
Yep.
Things like that. the full list. I mean, there's 100 items on the list. Now you want to put the entire universe
Our
list
of not-so-old things? Why not?
Well, I guess
that's so. rsr.org/lists, right? Okay. And then you can see all the lists.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. It's a great list, by the way. It's a really good resource.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, Fred, I guess we're done with the astronomy squeezing. Let's add black holes. Black holes, mm-hmm. they say, should be older than the universe. So the theory of origins from a materialist view is squeezed every which way you look at it. But now let's go back to the Earth and Darwinism and just do a couple more fossils. There are trace fossils.
Yeah, you mean like when worms, you know, crawl through and like a tunnel.
Yeah, they leave a little tunnel.
A fossil tunnel.
So you don't have the, or let's say a footprint or something like that, trace fossils, where you don't have even the impression of the animal, but of something
you
the animal
something
left
was
behind.
There. Yep.
So these trace fossils, now this is published in a journal called PNAS. It's actually the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. This year, February 2019, they said these trace fossils have been exquisitely preserved. How many times do we hear that? Who would have thunk it, right? 2 billion years old, and they're exquisitely preserved. Yeah. Fred, you know when they talk about Mars and the reason the formations on Mars last for millions of years? They say because there are no plate tectonics. They say if there's plate tectonics, it destroys fossils. And they say that when they're being honest, when they're talking about Mars.
Yeah.
But when you come back to Earth, these exquisitely preserved, delicate fossils all over the world, these are dated by PNAS, this paper, at 2.1 billion years old. And that's older. Now, this is mobility, right? Think of mobility in an organism where it could move enough so that it could leave like a trace, a trail.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not believe that mobility had evolved 2.1 billion years ago.
Yeah. And this thing is 1.5 billion years earlier than they previously believed.
Right.
They were off by quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd say so. That's the big squeeze, right? So if mobility evolves 1.5 billion years earlier than their theory had predicted, and Fred, these trace fossils, exquisite trace fossils, they also show evidence of multicellularity. You know, you have single-celled organisms and multicelled organisms. Well, that is 1.5 billion years sooner than they had believed that there would be multicell organisms.
Yep.
So the squeezing is in the range of 1 billion years or more.
Yep. So what about the pre-sauropod 26,000-pound dinosaur that showed
That's a big one.
It's pretty big. Shows us that even as far back as 200 million years ago, these animals had already become the largest vertebrates to ever walk the Earth. And that comes from Current Biology 2018.
Yeah, another peer-reviewed scientific journal. And so it just shows the pattern, right? Over and over and over again, because their theory is not based on what actually happened.
Yeah.
It's based on a myth for adults.
Yep, fairy tale for grown-ups.
Yes. Your website is?
Evolution, a fairy tale for grown-ups, evolutionfairytale.com.
Yes, great forum for discussing such controversies. And Fred, so they're shocked time and time again because the pattern we find in the rocks contradicts, squeezes their theory regularly to the point where it's a pimple ready to pop.
Yep.
That's what it is.
So, Bob, let's now leave the fossils and look at the big picture of what's going on with the squeeze.
Okay.
How about this? Evolution happens so slowly that we can't see it.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
However, evolution happens so fast that millions of mutations get fixed in a blink of a geologic time. Oh, it all depends on which scientist you talk to.
Yeah, and which problem at the moment they're trying to solve.
Exactly.
Right? It happens so slowly you can't see it. How many times have we heard that? But except for the fact that we're not just looking at rabbits waiting for them to evolve. We're looking at a million species around the world all at the same time. We should see tremendous evolution happening every year. Yeah. Tremendous.
But it can happen so fast that basically we don't see it in the fossil record. Stephen Jay Gould said that.
Right.
That was the evidence for his, you know, for punctuated equilibrium.
Yes.
The evidence is the fact that we don't find evidence for it in the fossil record.
The hopeful
monster. I'm not making that up.
The hopeful monster theory. Mm-hmm. And Stephen Jay Gould was the lead paleontologist in New York City at their Natural History Museum. I used to go there as a kid, loved it.
Yep.
The Harvard Hall of professor. Dinosaurs. Yeah. And so he pointed out what was the dirty little secret of paleontology, that what you find in the fossil record is stasis.
Yeah, which means nothing changes over
time. Nothing changes. You find a shrimp. And it looks just like a shrimp you get at Red Lobster. I mean, it's astoundingly identical.
Yeah.
Astoundingly.
It's as if some kind of global flood buried all these animals, and they all look like animals today.
Yeah.
Amazing, right. Huh?
And there are those that are extinct that no longer are alive. Okay, that's part of the fall model of Genesis, destruction, death, extinction from God's perfect creation. But you don't see the gradual change from some rat-like animal to some bat-like animal.
Yeah.
When you find bats, they're bats.
And sometimes you find what we thought were extinct animals. Yeah, like the coelacanth. Found that off Madagascar.
Oh, yeah.
They were fishing for it and like, hey, wait, this thing's supposed to be millions of years old. And we caught one alive. A living fossil.
Yeah. There are so many living fossils, Fred. In fact, Dr. Carl Werner is an expert on the topic, and we've done a show on it, rsarc.org/living fossils, and we have a spreadsheet that is, what, maybe the best in the world? And we love to make lists, right?
Yep.
And we keep them up to date. And this list, published with the permission of Dr. Carl Werner on Real Science Radio, and then we've been updating it, it's the number of living fossils. In fact, we sell a video called Living Fossils. Mm-hmm. It is the best.
Yeah, it is. RSR.org. Click on the store.
Yep. Awesome. So, Fred, from a bird's eye view, there's all different ways to look at the theory and how it's being squeezed. For example, small populations are in danger of extinction, right? That's obvious.
Yep.
Yet, the theory of evolution needs small populations in order for a mutation to become the norm throughout the whole species.
Yeah. Mathematicians know that that was an issue for them. Remember Haldane's dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
But large populations, as Haldane's dilemma showed, make it impossible for a mutation to become standard in the population over time.
Right.
It just can never get fixed. It would take way, way too long.
Right. So they need large populations because otherwise, imagine a million different species and they all have to evolve, and they all have small populations. Well, when you have a small population, you go extinct. That's the general rule.
Yeah. But you realize the evidence for that, Bob, is the fact that we don't find fossils in the fossil record of these small populations.
Right. So as Stephen Jay Gould said, and you already quoted him, the evidence for evolution is that there's no evidence in the fossil record. So how about this? To evolve flight, all right? If you want to evolve a creature with the ability to fly, well, it turns out you'd get bad legs long before you'd get good wings.
Yeah.
Right now, some creatures evolve flight with their forelimbs, others with their back limbs. But regardless, you had these limbs that you needed for survival, and now you've got some really bad legs long before you got good wings.
Yep.
And how is that natural selection? How is selection going to select that? And that's called the fitness landscape.
Yep.
And they get stuck at the top of these mountains. Like if you got good legs and you are the creature that's supposed to evolve wings, well, your legs got to get really lousy. You got to evolve downward for maybe a million years, getting worse and worse before you start going up a different mountain probable, Dawkins calls it.
Yeah.
So.
And Bob, how about this? Most major evolutionary hurdles appear to be extinction-level events, yet.
Okay, wait. Let me fathom that.
Okay.
Say it again.
Most major evolutionary hurdles appear to be extinction-level events.
that's such a crack up. Yeah, like our favorite caterpillar to the butterfly. He liquefies himself, and how's he going to get past that stage?
Yeah.
Right? It's an extinction-level event.
Yeah. Yet, somehow, even vital organs evolve.
That's another great question for an evolutionist. How do vital organs evolve? I mean, by definition, they're vital, right? By definition.
That's right. Yeah.
And so to evolve a vital organ, you need it to be an organism that fulfilled that need in a totally separate way.
Yeah.
And then you duplicated it. So let's say, you know, getting nutrients throughout your body, like the heart and the circulatory system, you had two totally separate ways of doing that. You did it redundantly, and then you got rid of the old one, you kept the new one.
Yeah. So did you somehow have all of them were non-vital? I have all non-vital organs, Bob.
Right.
Yet I'm vital.
Which are now vital. So think about vital organs, right? The question, how can a vital organ evolve? Or you could make it as an assertion. A vital organ cannot evolve. Mm-hmm. And think about what your vital organs are, right? Your skin, that's a vital organ.
Yep.
Incredibly complex. Your brain, heart, circulatory system, include your heart, your kidneys, your liver, pancreas, stomach, small intestines, large intestines, your lungs, and they're only part of the complex respiratory system.
Yeah, as you read
system.
That list, I was trying to think, well, now what could I go without of those guys?
And Fred, how about this? Many evolutionists, when they're talking about your vital organs, they want to minimize the list. So they don't include reproductive organs.
Hmm.
But reproductive organs for evolution are vital organs. You cannot have evolution without the ability to reproduce.
So, well, that's just because of their worldview and the tranny thing and all that.
Well, so that, Fred, so we have this incredible list of vital organs that cannot evolve because they're vital. You need them or you're extinct.
Yep. So, Bob, what about the limestone in the Grand Canyon?
And all over the world.
Yeah. It takes millions of years for them to build up at about 4,000 years per inch.
No, not per inch. Really?
Yeah.
4,000 years per inch.
Yeah, you get an inch for 4,000 years.
Okay, so, and this is common, right? The secular scientists, they say these deposits happen so slowly. Right, it takes millions of years to build them up, but yet the same deposits bury fossils, and we call many of these fossils polystrate because they're in many layers, many layers, and like nautiloids in the Redwall limestone in the Grand Canyon, even trees, like the entire trunk of a tree through 30 layers that supposedly were laid down over a million years, and the tree stood there.
Yeah.
I mean, a dead tree standing, say, when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, a dead tree, it's not going to still be standing somewhere.
Yeah.
And forget about 100,000 years, a million years. The whole theory's crazy.
Well, what about whales?
Yeah, they're
that's
a
pretty well-preserved whale. It just sits there preserving itself.
They're polystrate whales. It's
a whale in a jar.
That sat there for tens of thousands of years.
While this slow-moving limestone.
Well, and these are deposited in all different kinds.
Yeah, exactly.
We got whales in diatoms, for example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we have a page, rsr.org/polystrates. Fred, our goal with our list is for them to be the best list available on the entire internet. And that one is really something. When an evolutionist, if an evolutionist had the honesty and the integrity to look at that one page and say, now, is it plausible that these thousands, millions of fossils could all be buried under sediments that were deposited so slowly that these organisms, these dead organisms, would have to stand around, sometimes standing vertically, sometimes on their heads, for hundreds of thousands of years while the limestone filled up around them?
It's not safe to stand on your head. That's how I broke my arm in PE in high school.
Okay, yeah.
Someone fell out of their headstand and broke my arm.
Oh, really?
That's a true story.
Really?
Yeah.
Fell out of their head?
Their headstand, and I was doing
that's
my headstand and it broke my arm. So I don't think I would have been fossilized because I was flat on my back.
Yes. So, Fred, the squeezing of the theory of evolution, let's encourage our listeners to go to rsr.org/squeeze, where they could see a separate list of the squeezing and rewriting of human history. Remember we did this list? It was like for a year, every 2 weeks, there was another story where they had to rewrite human history.
Yeah, and that was what they actually said. Yeah, for example, they find two teeth and rewrite human history.
Oh, yeah. And then they got mummy DNA, and they said, we got to rewrite human history.
Yeah, and they find a few footprints, and guess what? Rewrite human history.
Fred, then they found skulls in Morocco, and they said, we got to rewrite human history. I mean, that's in the journal Nature, all this stuff. They found a skull in China. We got to rewrite human history. They did a baby's genome up in Alaska that was buried.
Let me
guess.
We got to rewrite human history.
And Fred, it just continues. They found a jawbone, a human-looking jawbone. They said, we got to rewrite human history. That's in the journal Science. And from the You Can't Make This Stuff Up file, NPR, National Public Radio, they report ancient bones and teeth found in a Philippine cave may rewrite human history. I mean, it's just on and on, and the list goes on. It's a lot of fun. We are out of time for the conclusion of RSR's list of discoveries that squeeze evolution, also known as Evolution's Big Squeeze.
And you can go to rsr.org/squeeze and see a lot more that's on this list. I mean, there's tons more we could have covered.
Right. So much fun. And so if you want to know the truth, it's almost like cheating on a quiz or a test at school. You read God's Word, the Bible. Genesis tells us where we have come from. And the book of Revelation tells us where we're headed. And you can't know where you're headed unless you know where you've come from. And it's a really good idea to be prepared to meet your maker.
I do have a question, Bob.
Yeah.
How many times have we had to rewrite Genesis?
Well, yeah, Fred, we don't. You know, it's not that the Bible is a science textbook, because they have to rewrite the textbooks all the time, right?
Yeah.
The Bible is God's word. And God got it right the first time.
The first time, every time. Yep.
That's awesome. Thank you, Fred Williams.
Thanks, Bob.
What a joy to do these programs with you. And you out there in the audience, if you enjoy these programs, if you think they build you up and strengthen your faith and help you to reach others with the truth of the gospel, apologetics, we could use your help to stay on the air. Like Fred said earlier, our store is at rsr.org. So Real Science Radio, rsr.org, just click on the store. You could subscribe to one of our monthly services, or you could make a donation one time or automatic monthly, or get one of our science resources. The videos on the Big Bang, the global flood, they're all awesome, and they all have a money-back guarantee, 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you can't afford something, then whatever you can afford, our purpose is to get the teaching out that the Bible is reliable as God's word, and it points to Jesus Christ as our Savior. So for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio, this is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Talking about.